Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Today, Dynasty. I am your host, Heath Cummings, here with Andrew Cooper, and we are here for what you've all been waiting for, the rookie tight end preview. It's the most important position. Well, you know it might be. Andrew, welcome. I like to start by letting everybody like just tell us what you've been working on and where people can find your work.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm over at fantasyalarm.com. I tweet everything out, so at Coupe Fiasco on Twitter. And recently, you know, I'm digging into the rookies. I also came out with a best ball guide that we're going to update after the draft. That's dropping this week. And honestly, above all that right now, the most important thing for people to get involved with, and you and I talked about this briefly, is the Scott Fishbowl contest we have going on over at Reddit. It's a big community over there. I've got my start just, you know, typing in the comments and then making posts. And then eventually those posts became articles. So I wanted to give back to that community. What we're doing is we teamed up with the lovely Scott Fish and Fantasy Cares to do a draft prop contest. So if you check my pinned tweet on Twitter at Coupe Fiasco, you get in, make a little donation, pick some props, like how many quarterbacks go in the first round, et cetera, and you can win prizes and you can get into the Scott Fish Bowl. So that's the big thing I got going on right now. If I want to focus my energy on anything, it's that.
That's fantastic. As a board member at Fantasy Cares, I thank you for doing that good work. Again, it was at Coupe A Fiasco. Go check that out, the Reddit contest. This is probably a good time, since you brought up Scott Fishbowl, to also say we've got a live draft down here in Fort Lauderdale for Scott Fishbowl 14 on June 29th. I will be there. We have a live draft in Kansas City on July 7th. I will also be there. So come hang out with me and do one of the Scott Fishbowl live drafts. Are you going to try to get to a live draft this year?
Oh, 100%. I live for the live draft. We up in Boston, we have, you know, Mike Fiella and Bob Gilchrist and
yes.
It's a bunch of guys giving each other a hard time, but it's all love. So
I was talking to Bob yesterday. I know when the Boston live draft is, but that has not been announced, and so we are not going to be announcing that on the show.
Yeah, that's a bit. We'll leave that one for Scott. But let me tell you, that one's got some fireworks, I think.
Absolutely. So go get involved with Fantasy Cares. Go get involved with the Scott Fishbowl. Go to Coupe A Fiasco on Twitter and check out that contest. Now, I wanted to tell you that like the way that you became a part of this tight end preview, and I love the fantasy community. I was doing, I think it was part one of the wide receiver preview, and I was kind of outlining the guests that I had lined up coming up for future previews. And I said, you know, I don't have anybody yet for the tight end preview. And within like 30 minutes, I think, I get a DM on Twitter. And it's just, I believe it was Coupe A Fiasco is crushing everything tight ends. You've got to have him on for the tight end preview. You have any guess who it was that would have sent that message to me?
I mean, I don't know who.
It was Mike at Daddy's Home.
Oh, Mike Fiella. Yes. I just mentioned a moment ago. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. He recommended you. And like, I didn't need a recommendation of you. We've talked plenty of times on podcasts before, but he said, this is the guy you need to talk to about tight ends. We are going to do just that on the tight end preview. We will have profiles on Brock Bowers, Theo Johnson, Jatavion Sanders, Cade Stover, and several other tight ends. We will kind of talk through Andrew's tight end process here in just a minute. And then we might do a little tight end draft, a tight end mock. What could be more fun than that? But we always start with three questions for our guest. And I'll just ask, like, let's start right there. What can you kind of tell everybody what your process is for evaluating tight ends coming into the NFL?
Yeah, man, it's tough. It's an incredibly tough position, especially when you look around at where these guys come from, because it's not like quarterback where, you know, the number one overall pick produces most of them. We've had guys like Mark Andrews, who wasn't even the top tight end drafted on his own team. We had George Kittle, who came in the fifth round and was honestly drafted because he was roommates with C.J. Beathard, who was drafted in the third round, right? We've had Logan Thomas as a quarterback. Darren Waller was wide receiver. Juwan John, they come from everywhere, right? So for me, my process, and again, I'm a big statistical guy, people that know my work, but you have to watch these guys, right? You have to watch and see what types of player they are. So the first thing I do is kind of group them into what types of player they are. Is this guy going to be a blocker? Is this guy going to be a two-way tight end like a George Kittle or T.J. Hockenson? Is this guy going to be a primary slot guy like Mark Andrews, Evan Engram, right? I group them into those type of players. And from there, we can figure out, okay, does the way they win translate to the NFL? And once we get that all together and have the profiles on these guys, of course, looking at metrics like, you know, how often they line up at wide receiver, how often they're pass blocking, yards per route run, all that. Once we have the profiles, then we sit back, wait for the draft, and we look and see where the teams are taking them and what they have in store for these guys, what the plan is. If the plan is obvious, it's like, okay, they're taking this guy, they have a spot at the slot, it's going to be great, then we're in. You know, if a team goes and takes a guy like Darnell Washington, for instance, and he ends up behind Pat Freiermuth and the coach calls him a sixth offensive lineman, well, we got to move him down, right? So
right.
That's the way we do it. And what we'll do on this show is we'll take him and we'll compartmentalize who they are. And we'll tell you, if this happens with the draft, we're in. If this happens, we might be out. So that's kind of how I go about it. It's worked pretty well for us through the years.
I absolutely love it. So question two, and this can be a loaded question. You can answer it however you like, but is there an attribute that you think stands out above the others? What is the most important attribute for a tight end?
So this might be shocking to some people because we've kind of battled against it with wide receiver and running back, which is 40 time and long speed. Right. And people will say, well, long speed's not as important. 40 times is not as important. Well, at the tight end position, it actually happens to be one of the most predictive metrics. And you know, it's kind of the opposite of what they say, where people say, oh, it doesn't really matter the long speed and the breakout stuff. At tight end, it does, because of how limited the targets can be for some of these guys. In that, and to use a term that you guys like using over at CBS, in the glob of tight ends that are kind of in the middle there, right? In the glob of tight ends that are in the middle, the guys that can do more with less are the ones that rise above and at least have some spike weeks. I'm talking about like George Kittle, who runs right. 4.5, 240, has more 40-plus yard plays. He's the only tight end that has multiple 70-plus yard plays basically over the last decade because he has that speed. Right. The difference between Kyle Pitts as a rookie on 68 targets having 1,000 yards versus a guy like Jake Ferguson getting 70 something targets and having 700 yards. So long speed historically, and you know, there's a number of studies that have been done. I, you know, a guy at Harvard did a study that I kind of understood, but you know what I mean? I combed through it, but he did point out that it's like, you know, draft capital and long speed and in college production are typically the big ones. So I wouldn't ignore 40 time here.
So it seems like we just had this conversation like 4 years ago with Kyle Pitts, but we will ask the question again because I am hearing it. Is Brock Bowers the best tight end prospect ever?
So I would say there's an argument to be made that he is the best fantasy tight end prospect ever. Up there with, so for me, since I've been doing this, the best fantasy tight end prospects have been Bowers now, Kyle Pitts, and Evan Engram. You know, the guy runs a 4.42.
Right.
And my best comparable player for Evan Engram is like, when you go through, it's like Andre Johnson. There's like no tight ends that are 6'3", 230. You know what I mean? Like, probably the best overall tight end prospect since I've been involved with this game has got to be Vernon Davis, right? Like, his combine was incredible and incredibly well-rounded. Didn't turn out to be the best tight end ever. But in terms of going to the combine and obliterating the combine and having everything you look for, I think Vernon Davis is still like the gold standard.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And people cringe a little bit when they hear that because, well, he didn't turn out to, but that has been the case with a lot of the tight ends drafted in the first round of both the NFL draft and rookie draft. So I've kind of shied away from taking that approach. Now, there's no question if you want Brock Bowers, you're going to have to take him in a one quarterback league, maybe with the fourth overall pick in a super flex league, definitely with a top seven or eight pick, depending on where JJ McCarthy goes in your draft. So you're going to have to make that decision with Bowers. I'm going to add a bonus question here that I didn't put on the rundown. I think you've done enough tight end research. It shouldn't be that difficult, but there's no doubt from anybody that Brock Bowers is tight end one in this class. Do you have a clear next four or five?
So I have, personally, I have two guys in the second tier. And then my third tier is about like five guys. And the reality is, and I did a write-up on this on Fantasy Alarm, the reality is that the entirety of tier two and three, depending on the narrative of the draft, not just draft capital, but who goes where, who, what order they go in, who trades up, whatever, any one of those guys could be the tight end too. Now, the tier two are the guys that I personally am saying, okay, well, these guys have what I, they have the profile that I like. And if you match that profile with the draft capital and the landing spot, the scheme, then I'll be over the moon. But I won't ignore it if one of the other guys goes in the second round and everybody else goes in like the fourth, you know?
Right. Who are those two guys in your tier two?
So those two guys are Jatavion Sanders and Jaheim Bell, who I know you had mentioned. I was going to mention it to you when you, you mentioned some names earlier, but then you were like, who are some other guys you want to talk about? He's kind of my my other guy there. But those are the two guys in tier two for me.
Okay, great. Let's take a short break and we will jump into those tight end profiles. And we will definitely talk about Bell a little bit later in the show.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
So we have to start with Brock Bowers, and we are going to spend just a little bit of time on him. Let's start with what he actually showed on the field. How would you break down Bowers in terms of just like an overall profile of his game?
I mean, this guy is, so for me, you look at what he, if I would just give the short and sweet on it, he's basically a wide receiver that plays wide receiver, that blocks better than every wide receiver in the league that you can start at tight end in fantasy football.
That sounds like somebody I would like to draft very early.
It's basically, if you could start like Jordy Nelson at tight end in fantasy football, that's honestly what we're looking at here. And I'll, you know, that's just the short sweet sub speech on it. And then the stats and the film back it all up.
Now we've seen, I think, two different archetypes you can talk about. We've seen Kyle Pitts be used almost exclusively down the field. We saw Sam Laporta last year with a pretty low A dot that did a little bit after the catch. Do you think that Bowers finds himself in a higher or lower A dot role? And do you think maybe he can be better after the catch than Laporta has been?
Yeah. So what's interesting about Laporta is that he was the tackle breaking monster in college.
Right.
And I think that's the crazy upside for him, is that I don't think we've seen the upside of him yet as he develops as a player. Like, I think he's going to incorporate more of that into his game. It's like Rashee Rice. I look at him and And the thing he did best in college was contested catches, and he had none of them last year.
Right.
I'm like, we might see another level of these guys, you know, and that's how it kind of works in the NFL. But I think what Bowers ideally can be is if you go out and use him, if a team, the right team takes him and uses him like Mark Andrews or Evan Engram, where he's actually playing like 85% of his snaps at wide receiver and just as a crusher blocking from the slot, then there's no ceiling to what he could be. And I'll even give you this, Heath, because, and I'm a very conservative guy right. when it comes to rookies. Some say even a rookie hater at times, you know, and I do cape up for the older players in the NFL too. I'm kind of the Lorax for older players. Speaking up for, you know, I get in trouble with that as well, but I will say this for him. If he were to go either at five or if they trade back, if he were to go to the Chargers where they just lost their top four pass catchers, they have Greg Roman, who orchestrated a top five all-time season for Mark Andrews at tight end. If he were to go to that team, I might rank him as the number one dynasty tight end before he plays a snap. That's the kind of player we're talking about.
And this is why he's a pro, because that was going to be one of my next questions, is where is he going to rank a tight end? Let's just say he gets an average. Like another place I've seen him mocked to a lot is the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
And that seems like a decent landing spot, but not quite as awesome as the one you just described. So let's say he gets a slightly above average landing spot, maybe drafted somewhere between pick 10 and pick 15. Okay. Where does he slot in to your rookie draft rankings, and where does he slot in to your tight end rankings?
Yeah, so honestly, for both, I'm going to take any tight end that is established and a top two target on the team and put him ahead of Bowers. Just because Bowers, you know, say he does go to the Colts or the Jets, popular landing spots.
Right.
We're not going to – no one's going to project him to have more targets than Michael Pittman or Garrett Wilson right from the right?
Right.
And there is competition there with Josh Downs and Mike Williams and those guys, where he could do it, but he's not going to be guaranteed to do it. So I couldn't yet rank him ahead of Andrews or Laporta or McBride or possibly even Kincaid. I think that's where he'd be in that tier with Kincaid and Pitts, and it would be him in that group. And I might put him ahead, but it's kind of hard to put him ahead of Kyle Pitts with, you know, Kirk Cousins, and he's already had a 1,000-yard season. So he ends up in that tier, which is obviously incredibly high for a rookie tight end. But without him having a guaranteed top two target role in the team, it's hard to say, hey, you know what? This guy's the second tight end in dynasty for me right now. You know,
are you comfortable saying that his upside is the best tight end in football for 5 years?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, again, the best tight end in fantasy. The best tight end in fantasy. Right? Yeah, because we have to make that distinction. You hear Travis Kelce, he says, you know, all the time, he goes, George Kittle's, he says it kind of like flippantly. He'll be like, George Kittle, the best tight end in football. He says it all the time, which there's arguments to be made, right? Because he's such a good blocker. He does everything. But in fantasy, I don't care how they block, not one bit, really, as long as they're not coming off the field. Like, if he can be the best slot wide receiver on his team, that's also a better blocker than every slot wide receiver in the league. And that's what's so great for fantasy.
Is there any risk or downside you see with Bowers?
So with any guy his size, right, which is, you know, of course, we say 6'3", you know, 243. And normal people are like, that's not small. That guy's
right.
Right? You know, it's funny to say it like that. But the prototypical tight end is 6'5", 260, like Gronk
right.
guys. The concern with guys of that size, and again, it's less of a concern with this type of player, is that they end up being part-time players, right? And we've seen it time and time again with guys in that size profile where you have two tight ends. You have the big guy that plays in line, like a Nick Boyle or something like that. And then you have the other tight end that comes in. And Mark Andrews, for instance, early in his career was only playing 40% of the snaps. That's how you end up in this with this whole group of like no man's land tight ends. Cameron Brate, Anthony Firkser, Kylan Granson. I mean, and you hear those Mike Gesicki now, you hear those names and it's like, they just kind of creep in and they get enough targets that no tight end on the team is relevant. And that is the scary side. That is the only downside for a guy like him is his size, but I think he transcends that. I think you're going to find a way to get him on the field every snap, but that would be the concern.
You mentioned Gesicki, and he is the obvious ultimate man, if they just play him all the time and throw it to him more, we think he'd be so good. Just to clarify, though, like Bowers is already a better blocker than Gesicki, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Right. And the thing with guys like Gesicki is the league now is kind of shifting towards that, right? Chan Gailey was the first one to really do it permanently. Like the 2008 Chiefs, he was the OC, and Tony Gonzalez ran the second most slot routes in the league, not among tight ends of anyone. The only person that ran more routes was Hines Ward out of the slot. So, and then he went to the Jets and they didn't have that kind of tight end. So he used Eric Decker there, and Eric Decker had 1,000 yards. And then, you know, David Nelson, and then Mike Gesicki with his top six season at tight end was with Chan Gailey. Well, now teams around the league are looking at that, and they understand what he was going for. They look at Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews and Evan Engram and say, these guys can catch just as good and block better. So that's what we want. So that's the thing with Bowers is that, you know, you have to come up with some kind of concern, and that's what it would be.
That is Brock Bowers, the clear and obvious tight end one in the 2024 class. Now let's talk about the other guys. And it's like, I want to start with Theo Johnson for the reason that Dan Schneier before the combine had Theo Johnson as his second tight end. Just absolutely love the guy. And there are a lot of people who will tell you the most important thing about tight end. You said it's that long speed, the 40-yard dash. Some people will take it a little bit further and say it's just it's elite athleticism. You've got to like give me the vertical, give me the guy that just isn't it's an elite athlete. And Theo Johnson is the prototypical size of a tight end, if not just a little bit bigger. And I believe had a 9.9 RAS relative athletic score, the second highest RAS for a tight end out of like the past 1,100 that have been measured. He may just be the greatest tight end ever to test at the combine, and he's also enormous, but there's not very much in terms of film or production to get excited about, right?
Right. Well, that's the thing. So a guy like him, and again, with the long speed, the way I categorize it, mm-hmm. and this is just a pure long speed, is anything 4.5, really 4.55 or below is difference making speed. At that right. speed, you can just beat the linebackers and the safeties and you're gone. Anything 4.55 to 4.65 or so is where like Travis Kelce and everybody live, you know, and you know, that's absolutely fine, but you're not going to break off like a 70-yard touchdown. And anything right. above 4.7, you're in trouble. This guy, and then once you get out of the actual pure speed, you have what you're talking about here, which is size adjusted speed.
Right.
Size adjusted speed, that's where we get what I call the fist fighters, right? The top fist fighter all time, probably Rob Gronkowski, where yes. he never really got away, but he was just punching, you know, he was beating guys up and, you know, all the way up and down the field, throwing guys on the ground. It was awesome to watch, right? But some of the guys in that range, they have to have that to them. That kind of is my one concern with Theo Johnson, is that he never showed that in college. You go and watch the highlights. And he was getting what was blocked for him. He only broke two tackles. And this guy, with his speed and with the setup, actually had a 10-yard A dot, one of the highest A dots of any player, but of any tight end that we looked right. at. But he didn't exceed 34 yards on any play. Even with the 10-yard A dot, he wasn't really breaking that off. So you look at the profile, and it's there, right? Like, you know that it's possible with the right scheme and the right coaching that he could develop into that type of player. But my concern is that since we haven't seen it, the floor obviously is that he's just another one of these guys that we look at it and say, oh, he could probably do this to the next level, and never really does. Which Noah Fant, Eric Ebron, those type guys, on paper, athleticism was crazy. And even, you know, we've seen flashes of it, but they never really had that special something, you know?
I think Matt Waldman talks about that with like the athletes who haven't figured out how to play football yet. And that is definitely the no, like I fell hard for Noah Fant.
Right. We had this kid in, and I, you know, I won't name him, great guy in my high school. Right. And we had a couple kids go to the NFL, and I played football with Anthony Sherman, who ended up playing for the Chiefs.
The Shermanator,
man. Yeah. He was incredible in high school. I got stories on that guy. Came out and pitched left-handed and right-handed in our alumni baseball game. But we had another kid that is the exact guy we're talking about. This guy, you know, in high school was benching right. Two plates, star on the track team, you know, and just like long jump, high jump, hurdles, everything. His father was an NFL coach, but he just didn't have that dexterity and knack you know, he just didn't have that. And it would just get beaten by other kids and jump balls and things like that. It's just there. And what makes our job so hard is that how do you watch it and say, this guy has that special something. He's got that it. And this guy does. You know what I mean? It's crazy that way.
Oh, right. And that's why I think like you're probably looking at round three of a rookie draft for Theo Johnson, assuming that he's probably going to be an early day three pick. If I was guessing, he could, if he sneaks into day two, then he probably sneaks in. And that's probably the case with all these guys. If they sneak into day two, they sneak into round two of the rookie draft. I think it's kind of a complicated thing to look at whether Penn State was a good thing for Theo Johnson or not, because the offensive environment wasn't very good. But that is a place that has, that seems to know how to coach their tight ends up.
Right. And then you have to look at that. Absolutely. I mean, that's the crazy thing, because you have like Iowa, the tight end factory, and Notre Dame and these schools. And then on the flip side, you've got some schools, and we'll talk about some of those players here, where if I'm a tight end, you know, it, you, in your mind, you're like, oh, football, Alabama, of course I want to go there. But if I'm a tight end, man, like that's a wide receiver factory, and your production is going to be not great. Same with like Ohio State and LSU and Clemson. It's like, I don't know, the tight end, if I'm a tight end, I maybe want to go somewhere where I can be the focal point. And you see a lot of these guys transfer as we go through some of these prospects. You see them transferring around to get looks in the later years if they don't get them early on, like Jelani Woods going to Virginia.
Right.
Just to, you know, to get themselves drafted. So it is very difficult, man. I mean,
we won't spend too much more time on Johnson, but we did kind of talk about like what's the downside, those super athletic guys that didn't really turn into fantasy producers, those guys that haven't really produced a whole lot in the NFL. What type of upside do you see for Johnson if things do go well, if it clicks, if he gets into the right situation? Is he the type of athlete that could be, you know, the rare top 12 tight end, top 8 tight end that doesn't finish top 2 on his team in targets?
Yeah, so when we talk about what people, in case people haven't seen his profile, this guy at, I mean, 4.57 at his size, and I believe he's 6'6", 250. I mean, that's insane. And,
right.
You know, again, when you look at George Kittle, he's not always the top 2 target on the team, but the scheme, because they use a fullback, right, means there's 2 wide receivers on the field, and the running back and the tight end, and then the third wide receiver doesn't really play much, right? Like Juwan, that's why Juwan Jennings for the 49ers, right, and Braxton Berrios for the Dolphins, who use Alec Ingold, and now the Texans to some degree. If you were to go to a team like that, that's the perfect spot for him. Like if he goes to the Dolphins, where they use the fullback a ton, and he can be the every down two-way George Kittle on that team, I think that's kind of what maximizes both his NFL potential and probably his fantasy potential, especially in best ball, where in best ball, we love George Kittle, right? I don't care about the games where he has 3 targets in best ball. I care about the games where he has 3 touchdowns. I care about the games where he has a 60-yard touchdown. So I think Theo Johnson could be a prototypical two-way tight end, especially if he goes to one of those highly consolidated teams.
Absolutely. That is Theo Johnson, a great athlete, very little production. We're going to hope that changes in the NFL.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
We'll go to the guy who I had listed as tight end 3 for this discussion, and I've seen him ranked as high as tight end 2, and a lot of people rank, seems to be getting some steam here recently as a potential day 2 pick out of Kansas State, Bensonet. He does have, when you look at his production in terms of a percentage of Kansas State's production, it looks a lot better than when you just look at the raw numbers.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and you have to factor that in, especially with, like, again, we mentioned Iowa. Brutal. brutal offense compared to some of these teams where, you know, if you're on a team with Joe Burrow throwing 55 touchdown passes or 60 touchdown passes or whatever it is, then, you know, you're only going to be a small percentage. The thing with Ben Sennett is he falls into a similar group with Theo Johnson, where he's very well-rounded tight end, right? Mm-hmm. And he can do a lot of different things. He can line up a wide receiver. He can line up at fullback. And, you know, you look at the numbers and the production is there to some degree. The concern I have with him, and again, like I mentioned, I'm not a huge film guy, but when I do watch film for tight ends, what I look for is people creating for themselves and making difference, making plays where you go out and you win versus man to man and you are breaking tackles and you're evading guys and you're looking for creases. You're looking for space. With Ben Sennett, I didn't see much of that. You know, a lot of his big plays are him catching touchdowns in the back of the end zone or being forgotten about. He still is. You still see him getting open, but a lot of it is versus zone, versus play action. I saw a lot of, honestly, Luke Schoonmaker in him. And again, with Michigan, it was a lot of play action, a lot of them creating for him versus creating for himself. So with Ben Sennett, again, I think I put him in the group of guys like Dalton Schultz and Jake Ferguson, where you don't have to be some like special route running genius to produce if you end up in the right spot.
Right.
Like, 90 targets is all you need in this world as a tight end, right? So if he lands in the right spot and a team wants to use him that way, I'm in. If he ends up on the blocking side of the tree or on a team that even has anybody that skews passing more than him, I'm probably going to be out.
And I did see, I think he had the highest off-target rate of any of the tight ends that we're looking at as top 10 guys in this class. So he did deal with some bad quarterback play as well, right, and still – I believe led Kansas State in both receiving yards and touchdowns, or receptions and touchdowns, receiving touchdowns. So that's a pretty good sign for a tight end. If this guy is, if he does sneak into day two, like some of the talk seems to be, are you fine with him as a mid to late round two put pick in a rookie draft?
Absolutely. I mean, that's going to be the difference maker for us, because some of these guys, like I mentioned, and again, we'll talk about Jaheim Bell, but I mentioned him. That's a guy where if he falls in the draft, he's dead to us, right? Where so some of these guys, I mean, even guys that I talk about the profiles and I have them ranked, Ben Sennett falls in that tier three for me, where mm-hmm. if he were to go in like the second round to a team that wants him to be their starting tight end day one, then he could be ranked as high as tight end two.
When we're talking about his upside, do you think is it that tight end 5 to 7 range in terms of like on a season basis? Is it more of a tight end 8 to 10? Is it a low end starter? Or do you think he's probably not going to ever be like an elite difference maker?
I think that, so well, yeah, we talk about like all time seasons, you have to be like a Kyle Pitts or somebody like that.
Right.
But like I mentioned with Dalton Schultz, he's better than Robert Tonyan, and Robert Tonyan finished third 1 year, right? It's all with certain guys, it's all about opportunity. It's about that window of opportunity. We need the combination of talent, scheme, and opportunity. And he crosses the talent threshold,
right,
where he needs the scheme and opportunity. Brock Bowers, for instance, his talent is so high that no matter where he goes, the opportunity is going to be there and the scheme is going to be there. For the rest of these guys, we need it to be almost provided for them. We need to look around at, first off, he needs to be the best pass catching tight end in the room when the coach looks around, because right. that matters, right? Like Dallas Goedert and Trey McBride standing next to Zach Ertz, they could be just as good at catching passes, but Zach Ertz is not a blocker. So right. when they were divvying up the jobs, one guy gets to play slot. The other guy has to be in there, you know, in the dirt fist fighting. That's what happens. Luckily, you know, Ertz got moved out of the way and those guys are able to step up. But you have to look out for that with guys like Ben Sennett and Theo Johnson, a few of these guys.
I do think that Sennett's kind of like the, if you're looking at the combination of production and athleticism, he has a pretty good combination of both. Like he's not an elite athlete. He doesn't have elite production, but he's not necessarily bad in any of those. And he's also a capable blocker.
Exactly. And that's what that he doesn't have the concerns that I have with some of these other guys that could be like part-time players.
Right.
Like he has the full two-way profile.
Excellent. Let's talk about the guy that you had in tier two. I got him just a little bit lower, Jatavion Sanders. I have like all kinds of questions about him, and you're probably going to answer them all, but he was at Texas with plenty of target competition. and maybe a little bit of quarterback concerns, although I think that might be overblown for him because it seemed like his targets at least were mostly on target. What do you love about Sanders?
Yeah, so Sanders for me, when you look at – when you watch the film on this guy, he is one of those guys that's winning in man-to-man. He's a great route runner. He's making great catches. And when he gets the ball in his hands, he's looking to make something happen, which – with tight ends, it's right. Kind of sad to say. There's a lot of these guys that are looking around and they're like, who's going to tackle me? You know, right. let's meet up and get this over with. I swear. It's like, they're just like,
oh, for sure.
Not,
yes.
They're not interested. Or in their mind, they're like, oh, I'm the tight end. I just got to cover the ball and go down. That's not Sanders, man. He's looking to make stuff happen. You know, he's willing to cut back and make moves. And he looks fast on film, which he's turned out not particularly fast, which we'll get to when we get to the other side of things. But I will say that this guy, he makes life easy for the quarterback. He gets open and he didn't have a single drop on 67 targets last year, right? Not a single one. So sure hands, right? For me, he falls into the group. Like his upside is to be a guy like a Zach Ertz or a Hunter Henry or that group of players that is just a guy that can line up in the slot, win in man-to-man, and has sure hands.
Do you view Sanders as someone who does have the part-time concerns?
So he has those part-time concerns. He can block a little bit better than say, Jaheim Bell, but that is a concern that he's only that type of guy. The bigger concern for me is the speed. That's okay. if we can cut ahead to the problem here. Because you look at the two guys I mentioned, right? Zach Ertz and Hunter Henry. Those are kind of the poster child tight ends that just don't have the speed, right? And boy, I was disappointed. But that was the most disappointed I was at the combine because I watched so much of this guy. I was like, there's no way he runs a 4.7. Like right. I was like anything 4.6 or better, and we're feeling good. I thought no way he runs a 4.69, but he did, and that puts him in that world with Henry and Ertz where. You look at those guys, Zach Ertz, absolutely peppered with targets during his career.
Yeah.
Peppered, right? He only had one 1,000-yard season, and you needed 156 targets to do it at age 28, right? And you look at a guy that has a similar profile that doesn't get peppered in Hunter Henry, and that's the scary part, is that Hunter Henry, when you watch him, he beats guys from man-to-man. He's great in the red zone. He scores all these touchdowns, right? The Hunter gets in the henhouse all the time. But he just the scheme so far hasn't given him the number of targets you need to succeed without that speed, without that breakout ability. And I think Sanders is going to be that guy. Sanders on the pass catching side of the tree, which I think he squarely falls.
Right.
Some of these other guys, the concerns, they fall on the blocking side. That's even more dangerous. But with Sanders, the landing spot and the scheme especially is going to be so important for this player. If he goes somewhere where he's just a part-time player, or if they have two really good pass catchers, then he's in big trouble because he's not going to break off big chunk plays most likely. Not after the catch. Not after the catch.
Now, you mentioned Hunter Henry, and really the good fantasy seasons he's had, it's been because he scores 8, 9, 10 touchdowns. How in the world did Jatavion Sanders score 7 touchdowns in college with his profile?
Yeah, and honestly, it really could have been the competition he's going up against in terms of, you know, catching balls like, you know, Xavier Worthy, like these, you know, they've got, they just had some great players over there. But yeah, I mean, but when you watch him on film, every time he gets the ball in his hand, he's thinking touchdown, you know, right. He's at least making those moves. And, you know, oftentimes he gets down there, but gets tackled. But yeah, you would like to see more of that from him. And I will say a little side note on Hunter Henry. Last year, Patriots, 0 screen passes to the tight end.
Right.
Not one. The Alex Van Pelt coming over from the Browns, 2nd most screen to the tight end in the league with like 20 to David Njoku alone. So maybe we get a little Hunter Henry. I know we're talking rookies here, but I just think a little Hunter Henry in there. Patriots stuff behind me.
I do appreciate that. I do. So I'll just to clarify, you don't think there's anything in watching Sanders or in his profile that suggests that he's not going to score touchdowns, assuming he has the right role.
No, because he can. The biggest indicator, touchdowns are fluky, right? Mm-hmm. We know that touchdowns are fluky statistically from year to year. Travis Kelce, even him, you can't just pencil him in for 10 touchdowns.
Right.
But the guys that do best in those situations have size helps, but success versus man-to-man is the biggest thing, right? And, you know, we talk about – it's kind of become a meme at this point, but we talk about these basketball players and their ability to box out and to create space and have that dexterity. I think from what I've seen from Sanders, from watching him, I don't think there's any concerns with that because he does great in man-to-man. He's great at getting that space and creating separation and catching the ball when it's there. So I don't think he's going to have a problem with that.
That is Jatavion Sanders. I had one more guy in my top five, and it was really just because I saw him in other people's top twos or threes that I felt like I needed to include him in the top five. I have a hard time getting excited about Cade Stover out of Ohio State. I'm wondering if you can help me with that, because it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot there to make me say, yeah, this guy's going to have fantasy football success.
You actually kind of summarized it exactly perfectly. With a hard time getting excited is actually exactly it, man. Because he's good at everything, but he's not great at anything, right? Like right. His ADOT, his yak, his, you know, he's top five in all those yards per route run, but nothing really exciting. I guess the one thing that he is like top tier in is catch rate. Caught 80% of his balls, which, you know, Brock Bowers is at like 78%. But beyond that, the argument to be made for Cade Stover is one that I dislike. But because of J.J. Zacharyson and Dwayne McFarland and their right. models, or the success of their models, you have to acknowledge teammate score. Right.
Like right.
Adam Azer with the teammate corollary. All it's like, because the wide receivers are so good at Ohio State, it's like, how do you get the ball to Cade Stover more?
Right.
You're winning every week. So there's no reason to say, hey, we got to get it to Cade more. It's the same thing with J.J. McCarthy. It's like, you win every single game. What did you want him to go to Jim Harbaugh and say, hey, I know we're undefeated, but what if I were to look a little better? You know, it's like, what if I were to throw, what if JJ right. would get a little more action? Like, can you imagine? It's like with Cade Stover, how do you go and say, hey, I know we have Marvin Harrison's son, but like, what if we get a few more targets to Cade? You know, so I think that's argument for him. So here's the big concern I have for the Cade Stovers mm-hmm. and the Theo Johnsons, and especially like Tip Ryman, is that when you listen to Bill Belichick, right?
Right.
He came out and said that this new kickoff setup is right. really going to push guys that are – the old kickoff was all cornerbacks and wide receivers and fast guys. This new one is going to be big bruisers, right? And okay. hybrid tight end fullback type players are going to be huge for this setup. And that could push guys that are good at blocking and also definitely fit that mold up the board a little bit. Like Drew Sample, when he went in the second round, tricked a lot of people because – they thought, oh, second round tight end, he's got a catch, but they just liked his blocking, right?
Right.
Those guys could go even higher now, where teams look at Theo Johnson and say, hey, you know what? This guy's a good blocker, and he's going to be on every special teams unit we have because he's perfect for this new kickoff, and mm-hmm. the floor is so good, we'll just take him, and that might trick some people. Now, with Theo, at least he has a little more athleticism. But with Cade Stover and these guys, especially Tip Ryman, Tip Ryman is going to be maybe the best kickoff player in the league, and that's not going to be great for fantasy football. You know?
No, that I do think there will be some complicating factors when talking about draft capital, both in that way and maybe with some running backs that teams are looking at now as returners right. that are going to get drafted higher just for that purpose. Just going back to Stover one last time, does he fit into that? We talked about like the Ferguson, Dalton, Schultz range of
bingo.
He just needs to be land in the perfect spot, and sure, he could be a top 12 tight end, but you're probably not getting much more.
Yeah, I call it the Austin Hooper Award, where, you know, it's like Austin Hooper, great when the Falcons throw 50 more passes than any other player. But otherwise, he's kind of just a guy. And, you know, you go to Dalton Schultz's player profiler page, his best comparable player is Austin Hooper. And Cade Stover fits right in that category where if a team wants to make him a focal point of the offense, we'll draft him in redraft. But in Dynasty, those windows open and they close all the time for kind of middle of the pack tight ends.
It's like the day three running back that just happens to be an RB1 yet next year. Let's sell off that and not count on it for future years. That is Cade Stover. Those are the top five tight ends that I wanted to talk to Andrew about. We're going to take one more break, and then we're going to get to his favorite tight ends that we didn't talk about yet.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
We are back, and I've made you wait 40 minutes to talk about one of the guys in your top three tight ends. So let's get it on. Who is the other tier two tight end we haven't talked about yet for you?
Yes, and I have no problem with people that don't rank this guy top five, to be honest, right, because he's the highest risk, highest reward guy. But again, we only care about upside. Every class is only a couple guys that come out, so everybody else is just doesn't matter. So if this guy completely goes away, I don't care because, you know, give me the roster spot, right? But Jaheim Bell, right? The knock on him is his size, but this guy is 6'2", 241, and Brock Bowers is 6'3", 243. Is that 1 inch and pound? Is that everything? And when you watch Jaheim Bell, this guy, he went to South Carolina and they actually used him. They had an inline tight end and used him. They went with the Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, inline tight end, and then tight end that we just move around everywhere. So he actually got 75 carries with that group. And he decided, and the other tight end as well, they both said, we're leaving. We want to be the star somewhere. He goes to Florida State where he gets all these screens, gets all these touches, and he shows what he can do in terms of broken tackle, in terms of yards per route run. In my article that I wrote, I had to include some information from Scott Barrett. Scott Barrett's looking at the yards per route run for this guy, is the best that we've seen from a tight end since 2015 in his best year, which is going to include the span with Kyle Pitts and the span with Brock Bowers and Laporta and Kincaid. So this guy is no joke. And if a team selects him to be their Evan Engram or Mark Andrews out of the slot, then we're in, right? Now, the comp I have for him isn't quite Evan Engram because he doesn't run a 4.42.
Right.
The comp for him is more of like a Chig Okonkwo, right? And again, you can see the flashes of the 40-plus yard plays and the big plays for him, but he could end up in that category where he's just a part-time player. But I look around and I say, which of these guys skew pass catching and can be those full-time guys, and which are just going to end up being inline blockers? And I always gravitate towards who can play wide receiver, who can be a wide receiver that I could start at tight end, because that's how you get the big upside in the modern NFL. And if you want, I have a couple names I can throw out there real quick with.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so after that, we're just playing the game of like who has rare NFL talent and who – or one rare skill. Right. So I look at Devin Culp from Washington. He ran a 4.47, and he – basically they just used two tight ends over there with Jack Westover and him, and they had three wide receivers that are all going to get drafted, right? I'm sure you talked on your wide receiver show about those boys over there, especially Roma Dunze. So if a team looks at him and says – you know what? He's got this one skill that we're going to go for that I'm in. I look at Dalian Holker out of Colorado State, and it's just, again, sometimes when you're looking at the box score numbers, it's hard to ignore this guy that he led in every category, right? Receptions and yards and everything. He's not particularly fast, but if a team –
yeah, I remember people making arguments against Trey McBride's box score scouting and saying, you know, he wasn't actually that good. And now he's like a top three tight end in Dynasty.
Right. And you talk about the knack. You talk about the knack where it's like, why does Hunter Renfrow get open? Why is Wes Welker? Like, you know, some of these guys, it's like, Anquan Boldin ran like a 4.8 or something like that. You know, it's like, how is this guy always open? And it's just, he's such a good football player. So you can't throw it out the window. And the last name I'll mention just because I got to upset at least one fan base out there.
Yes.
The Florida State fans do not want Johnny Wilson to play tight end. Johnny Wilson doesn't want to play tight end. And he probably will be a wide receiver. But if a team turns to Johnny Wilson and says, hey, you know what, bud? This year you're going to work out with the tight ends and the tight end coach and maybe play some tight end, what's he going to say? No, no, right. Of course he's going to do what he has to do to make the team. And that's how we got Darren Waller. And that's how we got Juwan Johnson. Right. So if that comes down to it, and if we have a 6'7" guy, right, that what is he like 6'7", 340? That is now enormous. Right. The day I hear a rumor of him working out with the tight end coach one time, I'm messaging Sleeper and Yahoo and CBS. I'm hitting you up directly. I'm saying we need tight end eligibility right now for Johnny Wilson. Because okay. That's everything in fantasy, right? It's that little that you being able to put him in that one spot, right?
I think that's a fun place to go. So let's just say like Johnny Wilson gets drafted. And they, when his name pops up, the team that drafted him made a point of just saying, like, make sure you list him as a tight end. And so it says Johnny Wilson tight end selected wherever. He's going to be tight end eligible in your rookie drafts. Is he tight end too?
In every metric he is. I put him in just for fun, I put him in there. And it's green across the board. Him and Brock Bowers, very top. 0% pass block rate, right? You know what I mean? It's like, 80% of his, he even played some inline snaps. It's not like right. He didn't. And the thing is, he was on a team that the Florida State just liked those players. Like he was, he was used not much differently than Jaheim Bell, right? They just kind of moved all these big boys around. Keon Coleman too, the big there was a hog squad over there with the pass catchers, you know? And, if you were to tell me Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman and Jaheim Bell were all tight ends, then Jaheim Bell would be ranked third, right? But yeah, that's not the way it is. But yeah, I mean, statistically speaking, yeah, he would easily be the tight end too.
Okay, I'm not going to let you pick Johnny Wilson for this exercise, but I did want to finish with we're going to do a rookie tight end mock.
Okay.
We'll take before the draft. We'll see if we can get through maybe our top 8 tight ends. We'll get to a point where I'm going to say something dumb and then we'll be done with the mock. But I'm going to let you go first. I don't know who you're going to take, but you can take the first tight end.
I get to take the first one, huh? Yeah, I'm going to take Chip Ryman. No, I will take Brock Bowers here.
Okay, Brock Bowers goes 101 in the tight end draft.
And just to throw it in there, this guy, Pro Football Focus, he was first over the last like decade or so in yards, receptions, touchdowns, yards per route run, yards after the catch. He had 5 rushing touchdowns, including a 75-yard touchdown, and he won the John Mackey Award for the best tight end in college football twice. So he goes first overall.
Well, he led the team in all those categories as an 18-year-old freshman.
And he never stopped being good. Like sometimes you do that, and he never stopped doing that. He did it every year, right? All 3 years.
Yes. So Brock Bowers clearly going one. I'm going to take Theo Johnson. Athleticism over everything. Give me Theo Johnson at 102 in the tight end draft. You go. Who's your 103?
Well, since I know your rankings, I know, I'm not going to go gamesmanship. I'm going to go off my own. But I know your rankings here. I'm going to take Jatavion Sanders. I think
Jatavion Sanders at 103.
Zach Ertz, Hunter Henry type.
Perfect. Perfect. I will. I'll stick with my rankings and take Ben Sennett. So we've got Brock Bowers, we've got Theo Johnson, we've got Jatavion Sanders, we've got Ben Sennett, and now it gets a little bit interesting, right?
Yeah. And I will say this, Ben Sennett, in a lot of the mocks I've been doing, he goes often even as the tight end too, right?
Yes.
Because people are my rankings always skew so heavily towards upside, but if you're just trying to rank for who's most likely to be an NFL tight end, Ben Sennett and Theo Johnson are right there, you know? So sticking with that strategy, I'll go with the boom or bust play in Jaheim Bell.
I like it. Jaheim Bell. And then I will take Cade Stover, I guess, reluctantly, but I think it's probably the right pick at this point in the draft. You take one more and we will call it a draft.
Okay. Well, then I'll use this opportunity to sneak another name in there.
Good.
Shout out to Derek Brown of the Fantasy Pros. He's another guy that's also in on this player. Eric All from Iowa, out of the Iowa Tight End Factory.
The Factory, yes.
Yeah. On my sheet, when you look at yards per route run and all those stats, especially yards per route run versus man, 3.74, which is like absurd. He's way up there. It's just he had this like spine issue when he was at Michigan that he had surgery on, and then he tore his ACL. So it's very, very scary. But if a team, NFL team, does the medicals and they're on board, then I'm on board. Tight End Factory, give me Eric All.
Love it. Love it. Love it. And I tell you what, Thank you, Mike. Mike was right. You were the guy to have on for the tight end preview. Really appreciate you being a part of the show. Before we go, tell everybody one more time where they can find your work and what you've got going on with the Scott Fishbowl.
Absolutely. Coop A Fiasco on Twitter is where you can find me. Again, I share all my articles. All my stuff's over at Fantasy Alarm. You can find all my videos and stuff on the Fantasy Alarm YouTube. And right now, the Scott Fishbowl, with this draft coming up, you have two opportunities to flex your knowledge on everybody. First, with the actual contest, right, where you can go in and pick all these draft props. If you win that, man, you show that you got this draft knowledge. I mean, we got people in there, Derek Brown, Thor Nystrom, you're in there. Like, you can prove that. And if you win, then you get in the Scott Fishbowl and you could potentially win the biggest tournament in the industry. And Scott was nice enough that or actually Bob Gilchrist took credit for it in the comments. So we'll say Bob Gilchrist is
Bob's nice enough, yes.
That if you have a Reddit account and you just comment on the Reddit post, you know, whether or not you want to get into the tournament, which, you know, you do a little charity donation. If you just comment on the Reddit post, you can get into the Scott. We're going to give away a Scott Fishbowl invite. There, you guys are going to spin the wheel on that. And then I'm giving away a couple best ball guides to people that comment too. So at the very least, go in and comment. But if you have an opportunity, donate a little money, fill out the form, and show what you can do and potentially get into that tournament and also raise money for an amazing cause of Fantasy Care.
Like, the last thing we need to do is give Scott Fish more yeah, credit. Exactly. He's already got the biggest tournament in fantasy football named after him. We're going to give some love to Bob and everybody else.
Bob and Heath and John Bosch. And and shout out to – big shout out to the Avi makers, man. The Jordan yes. Loop and those – I mean, like, that's the real grind and the real work and incredible work. It just brings everything together, man. So shout out to them. And shout out to Mike Fiala, of course. Yes. My number one frenemy out of all. we love our trash talk, but you know, he's just a great guy, man.
Yeah.
Open doors like this for people like me. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you to everybody who was active in the chat, an active chat today. Thank you, guys. Thanks to everybody listening on the podcast. We will talk to you next Tuesday.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.